And Lord, we just blessed to have them here today. So if you would, just give a big round of applause for Ty and Debbie and Barker Ministries. Amen.
I told Dusty earlier, I said, they must have heard me preach before because they're staying away by the hundreds today. So, are y'all doing well today? You might have to adjust me. I just kind of turned it up. I am going to turn this way a little bit. So, how is everyone? It's going to be a long day. I like a lot of talk back, so you're going to have to talk back to me. And so, how are we doing today?
Good.
It's been a while since we've been here, and June or July, I think it was. And so, we're glad to be back. And it's an honor to be in the house, and we're so thankful for you guys, but thankful for your pastors. It's good that they get away every once in a while and get a break. Amen. Isn't it good for that? And so we love Pastors Mark and Jada, and we texted back and forth last night to them, and they seemed to be having a good time, and they were checking on us, and so we're here ready to go. Are y'all ready? Are you strapped in, ready to go? I don't know about that. Strapped in, ready to go. Well, let's believe God to hear today. You know, it's one of those things I always talk about is that I'm going to do my job. I've prepared, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do. The sower sows the word. And you remember the parable that Jesus taught us. The difference in the yield wasn't in the seed. It was in the what? It was in the ground that it was sowed onto. So are we going to be good ground today? Are we going to stir ourselves up to be good ground? Turn me up just a little bit more, Carrie, because I'll start yelling if you don't. So all right, there, that's perfect. So Lord, I just thank you today. I thank you that your Spirit is here with us. And Lord, we don't go by how we feel. We don't go by what's been going on. But Lord, we just thank you that your Spirit is here to lead us, to guide us, and to direct us. And Lord, I pray right now that you open your word to us, open our eyes, open our hearts, that we hear your word and it's planted in us and it produces 100-fold. And so, Lord, I thank you that today, every person here, including myself, we're good ground to hear your voice. And Lord, we just thank you for it right now in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone agrees, say.
Amen.
All right. Get pumped up. Get ready. How many has this morning you've just had kind of a weird morning or things just didn't seem to go right? Good, I got the right crowd, because it was like that to me too. And you know what that means to me, especially as a pastor or preacher, as I'm coming in, if things don't seem to go right, then that means good things, because the enemy's trying to distract. And so how many, if you had that morning, push through that, because the enemy's trying to distract you from getting exactly what you need for right now. All right? So that's just good life lessons right there. So I want you to just stir yourself up to hear, to believe. How many believers do I have in the room? Raise your hands, because I can't tell by your faces. All right, so a lot of believers in the house today. If you are a believer in Christ, the easiest thing for you to do is believe. It's just who you are. So today we're going to stir ourselves up to believe and hear today. Amen? Well, you guys do what we do at our church, which I think you do, we start the year with a Bible reading plan. And you can, our Bible reading plan, they give you X amount of chapters per day, and you cross them off, and at the end of the year, you've read through the whole Bible. How many know that's a great idea? You can kind of get into habits, but if you're going to get into a habit, that's a good one to get into. That's not so bad to be religious about, is reading your Bible, because Jesus said it's like our daily bread. A lot of people say, well, just reading your Bible every day, that's just religious, that's just, you know. Well, I eat 3 meals a day, but no one calls that religious. My body needs it. Yeah, and just like that, our spirit, that's why Jesus said that, our spirit needs the Word. So are you reading the Word on a daily basis? Well, we've started, and how our Bible reading plan starts, it starts in Genesis. So we've been reading through Genesis, and I mean, God's got me camped out on a topic that, and in fact, this is a dangerous thing. I'm preaching on probably one of the most widely known stories in the Bible. So, with that being the case, what's the danger with that? You've already heard it. You already know. And so what do? You tune out. And so don't tune out today, because I'm going to believe God to hear some new and fresh things today. Amen? Come on, let's get fired up. Debbie, you're going to have to amen loud today. All right. So are you ready?
Amen.
Today's topic, and you know, if you're around me very much, and I've got some things I'll talk about later, but if you're around me very much, or if you've heard me preach ever, odds are you heard me preach on faith. And a lot of people said, well, faith was important back in the 80s, 90s, but we're kind of onto something new. Folks, let me tell you, we are never going to move on from faith. Because the just shall live by. So it doesn't matter if we've focused on grace or if we focused on other things, you'll never leave faith because it's very important to God. In fact, we're going to read something that'll really set you straight on that here in just a second. So we're going to talk about two simple words today, and the title is by faith. Come on, say by faith. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Woo! I get excited when I open the Word. How about you? Hebrews chapter 11. When you think about Hebrews 11, what do we think about or what do we even call it? The Hall of Faith. Exactly the answer. I even call it the Hall of Fame of Faith. How many's ever heard that or you've kind of thought of it that way? I was thinking about this. In fact, I had another message all planned out to preach here. And then God had me preach at my home church, Victory, this Wednesday. And I was still kind of set this side. This is the message I preached to them, but I still had something different for you. And God yesterday changed my mind and said, no, I want you to preach this today. So I said, all right, so I'll flow with it. But, you know, a lot of times I meditate on the message that God's given me, and I was meditating on it. I was going over it, and just in my mind I was hearing I believe the Spirit was speaking to me. And I got to Hebrews 11, and I said that in my mind. I said, the Hall of Fame of Faith. And God said, no, it's not. Very sternly. He says, don't think of it as the Hall of Fame of Faith or the Hall of Faith. He said, it is ordinary people that did extraordinary things by two words, by faith. In fact, I put that on the slide just to start today. It's this, ordinary people. Come on, how many ordinary people do I have in here? You say, well, I'm super ordinary. You are, but all of us are just ordinary people. And then, but God came in. Right? How many really got some things jacked up before you knew Jesus? If your hand's not up, I want to talk to you because I got some things really messed up before I met God. Mark knows. He and I have been friends for way too long. He could tell you stories. Don't tell stories, but we could tell stories. But I had things completely messed up, but God. Come on, how many of you know those are two great words, but God. But with that, I got to realize that there isn't anything in me that's super, that's extraordinary. I'm just an ordinary guy that God chose to use. The people in Hebrews chapter 11, because a lot of times I'll stop and think, well, you got Abraham in there, you got Sarah, you got all these great men and women of faith, and a lot of times we put them on that pedestal that they are up there, but if you do that, then you're going to be in trouble because, well, they did it by faith, but I'm not sure I can do it by faith. And God sternly said, no, don't think about them that way. They were ordinary people that chose to believe me and did extraordinary things. And over again in Hebrews 11, and I want you, we're not going to read it all, but when you go home today, I want you to read Hebrews 11 again and see how many times you see the two words, by faith. Because God's making a very important point that anything you're going to do that is significant in our world, in our life, especially for God, you're going to do it by two words, by faith. Woo. All right, so are you in Hebrews 11? Let's look at verse 6. But without faith, all right, so stop right there. So if you want to think that you're going to do anything without faith, look at the consequence. But without faith, it is what? Impossible to what? Now, we're not just talking about an aspect of Christianity that we call faith. This is the foundational thing that I can't come to. How are we saved? We're saved by grace. Come on, someone shout for that. We can't earn it. We can't be good enough. It's His unmerited favor that we are saved. But how do you access that? How many know that He died for every person on the planet? Yes or no? Let's vote. Did He die for everyone? If your hand's not up, just go ahead and put it up. Believe me on this one. This is a good one to say yes to. He died for everyone, but is everyone saved? Why? They haven't accessed what he did by believing, and that's simply what faith is just believing and saying, I'm not going to be moved. In fact, this is really good note-taking material. I know they give you the back part of your bulletin to take notes. So just write this in. A good way to think about faith is this: believing and not considering anything else. In other words, by his stripes, I'm healed. Come on, Dusty. By his stripes, you were healed, and then I'm not going to consider anything else. Well, I got a symptom today. Well, I'm not going to consider that. Now, I'm not going to be stupid. If God leads me to go to the doctor, I believe in doctors. How many of you know doctors are good? But they can't do anything outside of God anyway, or they'd already cured it all. So even if you go to the doctor, you got to go to the doctor by faith. Anytime you take a medicine, you got to take it by faith, because if the medicine could cure you, it already would have. So y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to get practical and real here. So an easy way to think about faith is I'm going to believe what his word says, and then I'm not going to consider anything else. Just think of Adam and Eve would have done that. Eve's sitting over there on the outskirts of the garden, and the serpent comes up to her and says, hey, did God really say? What if she just said, yeah, he did, and I'm not listening to you. Talk to the hand. The ear's not listening. But, well, did he really? No, yes, he did. And I'm not going to consider anything else you're saying. Come on. What if we learn to do that? If we learn to take this word and then not consider anything else. Come on, folks. I'm preaching right now. Just think where we would go and where we would be. So, are we faith people? Wow, that's about half. Are we faith people? This is another one. Just bobblehead me here for a second. Yes, we are. Come on. Can we do it?
Yes, we can.
Come on, Bob the Builder people. Can we do it?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. All right. Are you at Hebrews 11:6? But without faith, it's what? Impossible to what? To please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a, come on, shout it, rewarder of those who what? Earnestly, diligently seek him. Now look at verse 7 closely. What's our first two words? By faith. Come on, shout by faith. Now I want you to understand that it was by faith. And God's making a huge point that what Noah did, what all of the others did, they did it by two words. By faith. By faith. Now look at this. Being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Most Bible scholars today agree that at this point, in fact, if you put year one at Adam, when Adam was created, if we call that year one, Noah would have been born at about 1027. So 1,027, 57 years, somewhere in that ballpark. So over 1,000 years until Noah was born. But at that point, most scholars agree that it had never rained on the planet. Come on, farmers, could I hear an amen for that? God invented the first underground watering system. In fact, there were great pools, and we're going to see it here in just a minute. The depths were broken loose, and there was water deposits. We have some of that today, but there were water deposits, and it misted, and that's what watered the vegetation on the planet. And so at this point, when God says, hey, Noah, I want you to build this ark because it's about to rain, Noah would have been, yeah, great. What's rain? There's going to be a flood. Oh, okay. What's a flood? And he's building a boat in the middle of dry land. And so people are going, dude, have you lost your ever-loving mind? But he had to say, okay, none of this makes sense. Come on, folks, I'm preaching. God's going to speak things to you that it may not make any practical sense. It may not mean any analytical sense, but you got to learn to turn that off and say, hey, if God said it, I may not understand it, but I'm going to believe it. If there was a place to amen, it was right there. Because it doesn't matter what you can figure out. It doesn't matter what you can try, what you understand in this thing or not. In fact, Mark, I was looking back on Facebook, and it looked like you preached a message on faith or doesn't require understanding or something close to that. That's a message I preach, but I was like, wow. It doesn't matter what you can understand in this. It's matter what you believe in it. Say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, let me prove it by a scripture, because if you don't say anything unless you got a scripture backing it up. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your what? What's that word, heart? What? How do you define heart? That's a good question. I hear crickets in the room. It's a what? So a lot of people say it's our soul, where our soul and spirit kind of connect. That's a good way to look at it. But really, that word heart in the Hebrew is the word leb, L-E-B. And it means how we think, how we decide, even to our feelings, which is what we would call today our soulish realm. So he says, trust in the Lord with all your, how you think, how you feel, and how you decide. Trust in the Lord with all of that, and lean not into what? So you're trusting in God, and you're leaning not into what you can figure out. And I paraphrase that verse a lot, and I'll say, trust in the Lord, Ty, and with all your heart, and lean not into what your pea brain can figure out, because my pea brain can't figure a whole lot of stuff out. Don't amen too loud on that one. But that's exactly what we're supposed to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And what's He going to do? Direct your path. So, in other words, I've got to learn to tune into this, and no matter if it makes no sense to me at all, if He speaks it, there's a purpose, there's a reason. And so He tells Noah, He says, I'm going to tell you about this thing to come, and they've never seen it. But look at this last phrase. What did he do? Moved with godly fear. Come on, say moved. Man, we should get up and move here a little bit. Because what God's doing is he's speaking things to us, but our response to it is, yes, sir, I'm on it. Hey, how many are old in this room today? All right. I now raise my hand on that. That's a bad, bad thing. I hit the 51 mark this last week, and so I view things a whole lot different. You know, some of my dad's sayings become my sayings. My dad used to say, it's amazing how smart his dad got when he turned 30. I now know what that means. But my dad used to tell me something, and if I was ever brave enough, it was only once or twice, but if I was ever brave enough to ask him why, what was the answer? Because I said so. Now, that doesn't work today in our generations today, but in our generation, our older generations, because I said so. I mean, you know, that's a good idea to go back to. Because there's a lot of times, if we said, God says, all right, Ty, I want you to do this. Okay, God, why am I going to do that? I'm not going to understand it anyway. I'm just going to need to go back to, because he said so. Well, that just takes away my life. Hey, welcome to Christianity. Because your life's not your own anyway. How many got born again? Can you remember? Then what did you really do at that point? You gave him your life. And his spirit came and moved on the inside of you. So we're no longer our own anyway. So because he said so. That would be good to put on your bumper sticker. That would be good to put on your mirror every morning. Because he said so. And that's all I'm going to say. Right there. And so, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. So we read this story in about 20 minutes, and so we don't even think much about this. But you got to put yourself in Noah's place, who's never seen rain, never seen a flood, and God begins to speak to him, and he has enough faith, enough belief in God, that even if I've never seen it, God, I'm going to choose to believe you. There's some things in this part of the country that God wants to do, that's never been seen, but he's looking for someone to say, I got you, I'll do it. Today, one of the songs we sang from worship came from Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah went into the throne room. He went there, and God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are talking, and they said, we want to send someone who will go for us. And Isaiah steps up and says, here I am, send me. He's looking for someone in this county, this city, this part of Oklahoma, this part of the world. He's looking for someone that'll say, hey, I don't care what you say, God, I'm in. Let's go. Well, what if they never seen it? I don't care. I'm with you. Let's go. He was looking for Noah to say, never heard of rain, never heard of a flood, but I got my hammer right here. Let's go. Are you ready to pick up a hammer, even if it makes zero sense? Selah. Stop and think about that one for a minute. So by faith, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, he moved with godly fear. He prepared an ark. Come on, say an ark. What's an ark? It's a boat. All right, so that's the best answer, boat. But what did the boat represent? Everything in the Old Testament is a foreshadowing and a mirror of what we have in the New Testament. So what was the ark? What did it do for eight people? Saved them. Come on, there's an ark being built right here in Leedy, Oklahoma. And one of them's called Harvest Fellowship. And he's building an ark. He's building a place of salvation. And he's looking for someone to pick up a hammer and a saw and say, yeah, I'll build it. It's good that Pastor Mark's not here because I'm going to talk here for a second. Do you know what? It is absolutely not his job or Pastor Jada's job to fill up this place. I grew up in some small churches, smaller than this one even. I grew up in some small churches and a movement of churches, and that you'd hear stories of pastors getting fired because there wasn't enough people getting saved. And I'm like, you better read the Bible. You got it backwards. You better fire the congregation, because it's not the pastor's job to get people saved. It's the congregation's job to get people saved and get them into the church, and then the church is here to equip them to do the same thing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, if you need a reference for that. The fivefold ministry gift for the equipping of the saints. How many saints? Again, wave at me. I can't tell. Saints for the what? For the work of the ministry. And so, in other words, do you have a hammer and a saw? Because we're building an ark. And I need someone that's going to step up by faith and say, yeah, I'll invite my neighbor. They don't like me very well. I don't care about that stuff. I'll invite my family. Well, they definitely don't like me very well. I don't care. I'm going to invite them. Y'all don't know what to do with me, do you? The old proverbial cow at a new gate kind of look every once in a while. So he was moved. Come on, say he was moved with godly fear. In other words, do you move with godly fear when it comes to getting people saved? Or you go, they may not want to talk about that. You know, we're really not supposed to talk about religion. You know, they're really busy, and I'm too busy. Are you moved with godly fear? Godly fear? That's not afraid of God, but in awe and reverence that his job is more important than my job? This is good. I don't know if you like it or not, but this is good. Let me just tell you. I'm going to buy my own CD at the back. Why? God's stirring us up. Why? There are people dying daily that don't know him. Do you have the urgency to say, I don't care if they get aggravated at me. I don't care if it causes me to be late. I care enough about God's plan to say, I'm going to share the love of God with someone. Let me just dispel this too. Every time you witness and share the love of God to someone, you never fail. You say, well, I did, and they didn't receive Jesus. No, the Bible says every time you do that, you do one of three things. You either plant, water, or reap the harvest. I grew up in a farm out in Laverne, Oklahoma, so I understand agriculture. Hey, you're not going to have a wheat harvest in June or July if you didn't plant back in the fall before that, right? And you're not gonna harvest if it didn't rain the whole time. Yes or no? Come on, that's simple stuff. And so Jesus is saying the same thing. Every time you share it, man, you're planting some seeds, or seeds that have already been planted, you're watering it. And then sometimes we get to harvest. But I can't get to harvest if I haven't planted and watered. So don't ever think that I shared once is enough. I'm going to share until they say, man, you're wearing me slick on this. Let's pray. Yes, let's do it. Come on, Harvest Fellowship, build the ark. Build the ark. He was moved with godly fear. and he prepared an ark for the saving of his household, and by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. He didn't even have salvation through Jesus Christ, but he got right standing with God. Why? Because he said, by faith, I'm going to step up and do what you asked me to do. Come on, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm getting excited and I'm preaching. So, verse 9. I went to Genesis chapter 6. Go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Let's read about Noah. Come on, say amen. Let me hear pages turning or fingertips clicking. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect. Come on, say perfect. Perfect. Now, that just kind of takes you out of it. Well, it doesn't. Because what perfect means is mature, and he did things that God asked him to do. All right, I'm going to mess with you. Can I mess with you? You don't have to answer this one out loud, because it is going to be a tricky kind of question, and it's going to mess with you. How many believe you can live the rest of your life without ever sinning? I'll raise my own hand. My wife and I's hands are up. Well, Pastor Ty, that's just not possible. Wait a minute. Did God ever lead you to sin? Did the Holy Spirit ever lead you into failure or sin? Answer that question. No. So I had to come to the harsh reality that every time I've messed up, which has been multiple, even since I've been born again, every time I've messed up, you know what it was? It was me, not God. So if I can train myself that if I never do anything except what God's hurt spoke to me or led me to do, guess what? I'm never going to make another mistake. The problem is I get off a track on that and I start to do what I want to do versus what God wants me to do. But let me prove my statement, and it's just that way everywhere I preach. I'll ask that question and no one raises their hands, but it's because we've been brainwashed. And even pastors have brainwashed you. You know, you're just going to mess up. Hey, we don't have to. We just got to train ourselves. Let me ask you this. Did Jesus walk on this planet? How many sins did he commit? Zero, zilch, nada. Well, that's because he's God. Nope. Ephesians said he emptied himself of that. He is God, was God, will always be God. But he chose to lay that aside to walk on the planet like a man led by the Spirit. Guess what? That's what we are. Men and women of God led by the Spirit. And he never, in fact, he said it, I never do anything or say anything except what I've heard from the Father. So there's my pattern. So if I can train myself to do that, then I can do the same thing. Come on, say amen to that. Now, I'm not there yet. Amen. I still make mistakes. But every day, I'm not just saying, well, the grace of God's there. Every day I'm endeavoring, nope, I messed up there, but tomorrow I'm going to hear him. I messed up then, but I'm going to get it this time because I'm hearing him. I'm in his word. I'm led by his Spirit. I'm going to obey. Oh, man, that's good. Woo. Yeah, all right, where are we at? Verse 9, and perfect in his generation, Noah walked with God. Come on, say he walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Aren't you glad mama didn't name you one of those? Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Does that sound familiar? Are we walking in that today? Come on, folks. It's getting worse and worse, but you know what? The Bible said it's going to get darker and darker, but the light is going to shine brighter and brighter. There is a way of salvation, but just like this is paralleling how we're living, the world, in fact, you're going to read here in a minute, it was a godly, and Jesus said, just like in the days of Noah, so will the Son of Man also be. In other words, what he's saying, they had a great economy. They were marrying. They were giving in marriage. Anytime you read that, that's a sign of a great economy. So they were experiencing a great economy. They were experiencing great things, but it just, all the restraints were cast off, and they went darker and darker and darker. And God says, that's it. And someday, folks, and I'm not trying to scare you or be emotional today, but there's coming a day very quick that God's going to say, that's it. And the ark's going to be closed. So it's important we understand these messages and say, hey, yeah, we're living a good life. We're experiencing some great things. But man, it's about some people out there that are lost that need to be saved. Verse 13. And God said to Noah, the end of flesh shall come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make the rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window of the ark, and you shall finish the cubit from above and set the door of the ark in its side. And you shall make it with a lower, second, and third decks. So he's making this boat a three-level boat. Man, it is something. And so God begins to say, hey, it's over. I want you to start making an ark. And God's saying at the Jesus' resurrection, that became, that ushered in, that started the last days. Now, how many of you know we're living in the last of the last days? But the last days were then. And now he's saying, folks, it's important, stay on target. By faith, start getting people in. And so he had what I believe 120 years from that point to start to build the ark. And the New Testament, 2 Peter says he was a preacher of righteousness. So the whole time he's swinging that hammer, hey, you need to get right with God. There's that crazy guy again, building a boat in the middle of the ground. He says it's going to rain. Never heard of rain. Guy's lost his mind. You know, that's what the world thinks of us. They think we're so weak-minded that we have to have a God that thinks for us. Praise God! Yes, I do. And you might feel like no one's listening. Because 120 years, he's preaching, and not one got saved. But he kept going because God spoke. He said, I don't care what they think. I'm going to do what God says. Come on, someone. Is that you? I don't care what they think. They may think I've lost my ever-loving mind, but I've given it to him. Where am I at? Verse 17. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven and all flesh its breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you. Come on, do you see a foreshadowing? He's saying, I'm going to look for someone who will believe, and I'm going to establish my covenant with them. Jesus said, hey, Lord, if there's any other way, but not my will, thy will be done. And he says, that's what I need for a covenant. And there we got a new covenant. Now he's looking for covenant people, those that are going to believe and jump in and say, I'm in. So he says, I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you and your sons, your wife, and your son's wife with you. Now look at verse 22 very closely. Thus Noah did. Come on, say that out loud. Thus Noah did. Come on, folks. Now put your name in it. Thus Ty did. Come on. God's looking for a thus Mark did. Thus is looking for a Dusty did. That's harder to say. Thus, Dusty did. Are you a didder? Are you going to be a didder? I know that's not right English, but I'm from Laverne. Laverne, come on, yes. God's looking for us to say, I'm in. I'm in. When it looks like nothing that we should be doing, thus Abraham, or thus Noah did. According to what? According to what? Open screen test. According to what? Come on, shout all. According to all that God had commanded him, so he did. So you look at this, and I want you to understand, faith always leads to action. So don't tell me you're in faith. Show me you're in faith. And if you're believing something, then I should see an evidence of it, or you're really probably not in faith. James chapter 2 says, faith without what? Works. Y'all know that word, but you know what that word really is to us. Faith without a corresponding action is dead. In other words, it doesn't exist. So your faith should have evidence by what you do. Woo! Hallelujah. So thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. And so in other words, your faith leads to action. Come on, say, my faith leads to action. He was warned of things not yet coming, and so what did he do? I've never seen that, but God said it. I believe it. Now what am I going to do? Step into action. Let me ask you this question today. What are you believing? This is rhetorical. Don't answer out loud. What are you believing for? Write that down. And then say, do I have a corresponding action? Because if you don't, you might want to wish or think up here, but you may not be in true faith. How many know there's a lot of people that have said they were in faith, but they weren't really in faith? Yes or no? So a good sign, according to several scriptures, a good sign that shows that I really believe, shows that I'm really in faith, is I have an action that I'm already walking in. Ooh, that's good. How many of you know that's a good exercise? How many are believing for some stuff? I'm not going on until we vote on this one. How many are, if you're not believing for something, you might as well, because the time's going to pass, you might as well be believing for something. So if you're not believing for something today, find something. Harvest Fellowship could probably use an extra $100,000. Start believing for it. I ain't kidding. Might have stretched some boundaries right there, but there's always work we can do here. How many of you know if Pastor Mark had an extra $100,000, he could do some great things? So let's start believing. He didn't tell me to say that. You can ask him when he gets back. But how many know, if you're not believing for something, you need to be. Then secondly, my main point of this is today, go home and list out the things you're believing for. Write them down. In fact, Habakkuk tells us, write out the vision, make it plain, because you don't really start to act on something until you've written it down. So write it down. And then right beside it, what is my corresponding action? And if you don't have one, start to pray. Say, God, I need to start moving on that. How many, you know, this is very practical. At the first of the year, my wife and I, we've been on a 21-day fast, and it's coming up in a couple of days. Thank you, Jesus. But we've been on a 21-day fast, and we've cut out a lot of stuff that we really like to eat. Whew, that's tough on your flesh. But I where was I going with that? What I had to do is I had to write it down. How many of you know if you want to lose weight? It's one thing to say I need to lose weight. It's another thing to actually get a plan together and start to change the way you eat. I'm not really serious about it until I really start to put a plan in action. So how many think I just need to move on from that topic right there? So what are you going to do today? Write down what I believe for. And what's my corresponding action? So Noah, he did it according to all that God commanded him. So you know what he did? He built the ark. And I loved it. I'm a visual guy. How many visual learner people do I have out here? I'm a visual guy. So Noah, he built the ark according to Genesis 6 through 9. The ark's dimensions was 450 feet long for us, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall. Now, I don't know about you, but those don't mean that much to me. So I like to put it in perspective. And so I went to Google Earth. What's that of? That's our church right here. We're in it. And so right there is a down view of Harvest Fellowship. So I put out the dimensions of the ark, and right there is the ark. That's a big old boat. So he began to build, and he built this boat. How did he do it? Two words, hint. It's the title. By faith. Come on, say by faith. Genesis chapter 7. I want you to see this, and I got an illustration I want to do. Grace, you're going to help me with this illustration. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark. And I want you to see that word come. Now, if you're reading an NIV or an NLT version of the Bible, it'll say what? Does anyone have those? It'll say go. But I went, and I went back to the actual Hebrew word, because words mean a big thing. And especially this one. And I went back to the Hebrew, and the word actually is the word, what we would say, come. Grace, come up here and help me. All right, you don't have to do anything but just stand by me. So I'm God. Grace is Grace. All right, if upstairs is the ark, if I'm standing with her, I would say what? Grace, go up into the ark. But watch this. If I'm in the ark, how would I say it? Grace, come up into the ark. Oh, come on, folks. God will never send you someplace that he's not already there. He didn't stand down here and say, hey, in fact, beware of people that say, hey, I want you to go do this if they're not already there with you. Thank you, Grace. You did good. God said, come. Come on, folks, grab a hold of that. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He made me put a slide up on that. God never sends you somewhere that he isn't already there. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. When he calls you to do something great, big, that you've never heard of anyone else doing, come on, I'm talking to some entrepreneurial spirits in here. There are creations, there are ideas that he wants to drop into you, but he's got to know that you'll say, yes, here I am. That you're going to believe him no matter what he says. Yes, I'll do it by faith. He's looking for people like us. Ordinary people that did extraordinary things by two words. By faith. Question, rhetorical, don't answer out loud. Do you have faith to walk out the ideas that he has for you? And if you don't, how many know you can grow in faith? How do you start? You just start believing. You just start walking. You just start doing it. Man, aren't you glad that he'll never call us to something that he's not there? He's already there saying, you can do this. So, Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. So, the floods came. The earth was opened up. The groundwater was broken up. It started to rain. How long did it rain? 40 days. And how long? 40 nights. And so, it rains and it pours and it floods. And I'm telling you, it's never been that way. Thank God it'll never be that way again, because he set his sign, his covenant. Hey, and don't let anyone else steal it. It's God's idea to create the rainbow. That's his sign. Yeah, I got a little political right there, but that's all right. It was his. So he breaks up the foundations of the deep, and it begins to just rain and pour, and they're out there on the water. And then I love this first phrase. Come on, say, then God remembered Noah. Aren't you glad? He's never, oh, come on. I'm talking to someone in here right now. I don't know who it is, and I don't need to know who it is, but there's someone that you followed God most of your life, and all of a sudden you started to go through some things, and you're thinking, does God even know I'm here? And if he sent me all the way from Tulsa, Oklahoma to tell you today, he's remembered you. And he's never left you. He's been with you. How many of you remember the old poem about footsteps in the sand? And there was only one set of footprints, and they said, hey, what's up, God? And he says, hey, that's when I was carrying you. And right now, you feel like he's not there, but he's carried you through, and he will bring you through victoriously. I don't know who that's for, but that was a word for you right there. God remembered Noah and every living thing and the animals that were with him on the ark. In fact, test time here. How many of each animal was on the ark? So, good little point right here is a lot of times we think about the Bible in traditional stories. You got to go back and read. There were seven, a male and female of each clean animal, two of each unclean animal, and seven of each birds. Crickets. Go back and read. You know how many times we hear stories, we tell stories, and we don't know what the word really says. All right, so my wife and I, we have a new role at our church. We're over all of the pastoral team, and so we had a pastoral staff meeting during Christmas time. And so I did this to them. I did a quiz and took the real Christmas story and asked them questions from the Bible about the real Christmas. It was scary how much they didn't know. You know why? Can I get a little rough here for a second? Y'all know I love you, right? I'm family. They told me earlier I was family. Because we only feed sometimes what the pastor gives us. We've got to get into the Word for ourselves. Come on, say amen, whether you believe it or not. Just say, yeah, I'm by faith, I'm believing that one. So that was just test time. That was free. So he remembered the animals. Verse 3. And the waters receded. Come on, aren't you glad that even though it might flood, God says that's enough. And the waters begin to recede. Oh, that was a good word for someone. The waters begin to recede continually on the earth until the end of the 50 days. And the waters decreased. And the ark rested in the 7th month on the 7th day on the mountain of Ararat. So that's where we believe that the animal, Mount Ararat in Turkey, that's where ark we believe is. But a lot of times we read through this story, like I said earlier, we read through it in like 20 minutes. And we don't realize what really took place. And how many know, by faith, sometimes isn't fun. Who could testify to that? If your hand's not up, then you probably haven't been doing it very long. Sometimes by faith isn't fun. And almost always, by faith takes longer than my flesh wants it to. That due season, Galatians talks about, that due season is never when my flesh wants it. When's our flesh want it? Now, yesterday would have been better, right? But sometimes by faith takes a while. And so what I did is I took this story and the months that they gave it, I put it in our calendar so we could understand it better. So when it says February, it wasn't there February. Just everyone know what I'm talking about here? All right. So Noah's timeline. Noah's family enters the ark on February 10th because it says the 2nd month on the 10th day. So I put that as February 10th. And then they wait 7 days before it begins to rain. On February 17th, the heavens are open and the flood begins. And it rains all the way to March 28th. So it doesn't stop from February 17th till to March 28th. Then, on July 17th, the ark rests on Mount Ararat. So I want you to get that. How deep was the water? The scripture tells us the highest mountain. What's our highest mountain? Everest. All right. We got some history people in here, geography people in here. All right, Mount Everest, the waters went over Mount Everest by 22 feet. That's a lot of water on the planet. All right, so they're out there and they're coasting. And it wasn't from February 10th till July 17th that they began to hit solid ground again. Wow. All right, so then November 10th, Noah opens the window of the ark, and at that time he sends out a dove, which returns because it didn't find anywhere to land. So then, 7 days later, he sends out again, and this time it comes back with an olive leaf. How many remember this part of the story? All right? Then, the next time, November 24th, Noah sends out the dove, which never returns, and he sits there and waits until, now I want you to get this, because this becomes very important. January 1st of the next year. And I want you to look closely. You don't have to turn, but look closely at these two scriptures. And it came to pass in the 601st year of the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked. And indeed, the surface of the ground was dry. Say the surface of the ground was dry. Verse 14. And in the 2nd month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. Now, I want you to get this because what happened is on January 1st, the surface was dry. But what did God say? You're not going anywhere yet. Because a lot of times we look at what the surface looks like and we say, oh, looks good. And God said, no, the surface is dry, but underneath it's not dry. Oh, come on. God's timing is always perfect. And I'm speaking to someone, when God speaks to you, there is a time and a place for it, and he will speak, now's the time, go. Now's not the time, set right here. So January 1st, the surface of the dry was ground, but it wasn't until February 27th, some 57 days, according to their calendar, 57 days from the time he says it looks dry until the time it was actually dry. Come on, that's talking to someone in here today. You move in God's timing. You can be doing the right thing in the wrong time and it will still be wrong. We wait on God's timing. So February 27th, now the earth was dry. Come on, does that talk to anyone? Get this in your notes. You cannot live by what you only see on the surface. You must trust God who sees and knows everything below and beyond the surface. Ooh, that's good. So I don't know if you did the quick math on that, but at February 27th, God said to Noah then, go out of the ark. I asked some of our staff Wednesday night when I was about to preach this, I did a test like I did to you guys. I said, how long was Noah and his family in the ark? She said, 40 days and 40 nights. Well, that's how long it rained. But what we don't realize until we really put pen to paper is they were on the ark 1 year and 17 days. 1 full year and 17 days. Sometimes by faith, I guarantee you by about week 5 or 6, it's getting pretty funky inside the ark. How many have been around some animals enough to know? And it may not be comfortable to you on what God's asking you to do. It may be taking longer than you want it to, but he's got a perfect time and a perfect season. And by faith, again, don't try to figure it out up here. By faith, you say, God, I trust you. Because if I'm moving and doing what he's asking me to do, and I'm doing it by faith, I'm going to do it. I'm going to succeed. It may take longer than I want it to, but I will. And I just wanted to bring up a story that we've all heard to say, first, he did it by faith. That means you can do it. You could have built the ark and done it. Because it only took two things. Two words. By faith. And he trusted God the whole time. He didn't look at what his natural circumstances, his eyes saw. He still trusted God for the right time. And I guarantee you, someday I'm talking to him. Noah, what was it like? Dude, you don't even want him to know. And that year and 17 days was the longest year and 17 days of my life. But he went through all of that. 120 years of building. A year and 17 days in the ark with all the animals. And look what he did. Without him, we're not here. He picked up a hammer when he didn't understand it. He did what God asked him to do, and he preserved the world. Now, it's easy to go back to Hebrews 11 and go, wow, what a Hall of Fame dude. Ordinary guy that did extraordinary things by faith. Last scripture is where we started. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. Can you say amen? Bow your heads and close your eyes. You know, I know some of you, but I don't know everyone. But I really, as a young preacher, meaning I haven't preached that many years, one of the biggest things I struggle with is, God, is this the right word? Folks, let me tell you this, without one question, every minute I preached today, I knew it was the right word. I don't know specifically who it was for. But the first one is this. You're really not in the ark. you're not in a place of salvation. A while ago, when I began to talk about how Christianity is how we give up our life, that really didn't relate to you because I don't doubt you love God. You wouldn't be here if you didn't love God. I don't even doubt you don't believe in God, but salvation is about giving Him your life. And so I want everyone in the room, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, because I don't want anyone embarrassed, and I'm not going to call you out, not going to embarrass you by any means. In fact, I'm not even going to call you to the front today to pray. You're going to pray right there. But with every head bowed, every eye closed, if I'm talking to you, and maybe at one time in your life you gave your life to Jesus, but really you've just been living your own life, and you know it. Right now, your heart, the conviction in your heart's telling you, it's time to get in the ark. Because Jesus says, in the day, just like the days of Noah, so it will be. Those people didn't know until raindrops started hitting their head and they were already 7 days too late to get in the ark. I know I'm talking to a couple people here. If you're not really born again today, you can be. So with no one looking around, if that's you, just really quietly lift your hand. And you can put it, yeah, you can put it right back down. Yeah, you can put it right back down. Yeah, you can put it right back down. Anyone else? Yeah. Glory to God. Now there's some of you that Christianity, and especially what I talked about today, has been very difficult for you because your whole life you've been an analytical thinker. And it's really hard for you to just say, I believe, even when it doesn't make sense. And if that's you here today, this is one of those words that you got to, it's not something that's going to, again, make sense. You're going to have to just flip the switch and say, I believe. I don't know who I'm talking to right there, but if that's you, I want you to just raise your hand because this is going to be a big stepping day for you too. Yeah. Anyone else? Glory to God. There's some of you that I really believe God spoke to you, or you believed for something, but there's no corresponding action. There's no thus Ty did. You know what? The Bible's still being written. Hebrews 11 is still being written. By faith, Ty. By faith, Mark, Carrie, Dust. All the by faiths are still being written. And really, you realize that you are believing for something, but there's no action behind it. That's a good thing to just recognize and say, yeah, that's where I'm at, but I'm going to change tonight. I'm going to get into action today. If I'm talking to you, just raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Lots of hands. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your mercy that's here today. Lord, you're a loving God. And even when we haven't been doing some of the right things, Lord, you love us enough to give us time. But now you're speaking clearly to us. And so I pray right now that we all hear, and just like Noah, we're moved with godly fear and we obey. Lord, I thank you that you give us that time. Now, Holy Spirit, help us with our action. Help us with our by faith movement. Lord, I thank you that you're helping all the analytical thinkers in the room. They don't have to understand to believe. Faith does not require understanding. It's trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Lean not into what we understand, but in all our ways we acknowledge you and you direct our path. And Lord, I thank you for it. And right now, I'm going to pray for those that raised their hand. There were several that raised their hands to commit their life to God. And here's what we're going to do, all of us in the room, because it doesn't matter if you've been saved a long time. This is a good faith declaration. We're going to all pray this together. I'm going to lead us, and we're going to all repeat it. Everyone in the whole room, say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're the Son of God, that you came to earth to die for my sins. I believe you were buried in the grave and that God raised you from the dead. And I receive you now as my Savior, and I make you Lord of my life. My life now belongs to you. Now fill me with your Spirit. And Lord, I just thank you that as we prayed that, Lord, we are born again. And I tell you those that raised your hand, you are born again. And you say, well, preacher, I don't feel any different. And I usually say, good, you're not supposed to. You're not saved by feelings, you're saved by faith. So just believe it. And when you walk out the door, and I guarantee you this is going to happen, when you walk out the door, the enemy's going to say, well, that didn't do anything. You say, oh, yes, it did, and I'm not even going to consider anything else you're saying, because I believe. Lord, I thank you for this house. I thank you for these pastors. I thank you for this congregation. Lord, I thank you that they are doing great and mighty works in Northwest Oklahoma or West Oklahoma. Father, I thank you that you're going to do things. You're giving creative ideas. You're giving inventions to the people here. And Lord, by faith, they're going to change the world. And they're going to know that there's a God in this house. Lord, I thank you that this house is an ark to people in this country. And Lord, I just pray over everyone. I anoint them to be carpenters building the ark. Bringing family in. Bringing friends in. Bringing enemies in. Bring them all in for their salvation. And Lord, I thank you for it right now. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone agrees, say, amen, amen. We got some new stuff back there. Just come to us. We'll talk to you about it. I'm going to hand it over to Dusty.
Amen.
God bless you.
Awesome word, wasn't it? Let's give Ty a big round of applause. We appreciate them being here today. You know, as you talked about that, Noah, I was reminded of I heard a message from Pastor Jimmy Evans one time talking about that, and he's talking about as Noah built the ark, he said they're all sitting around mocking him, calling him an idiot and a moron, I think, and what are you doing? It's, you know, it's never rained. What do you need a big boat for? And can you imagine getting that day after day for how long?
120 years.
And then he closed the door, and the rain came, and he said, then they started pounding on that door, calling Noah a genius. Yeah. Going from an idiot to a genius. It was too late. So that's our calling right there, just make sure it's not too late for people. Amen. Amen. Give Pastor Ty another round of applause. Like you said, he's got table back there set up with some great resources, so go check that out. Thank you all for being here. God bless you and have a very blessed week. Amen. Amen.